Last hour of the last program for the rather raunchy year of 2017. I'm afraid 2018 is going to be worse. I'm not negative. I'm just telling you like I see it. Christmas. A lot of people had a very lousy Christmas in this country. If the American people were truly left to exercise their own free will through the ballot, which they are not, I cannot conceive that anything more than 5 or 10% of America would vote in favor of giving so-called refugees, these Arab and black Muslims, residence here, free residence here, free food, free school, free insurance, free education, free medical, free everything, while letting one single American go in need, one American suffering. This country should take care of its own. To hell with any immigration. It should not be allowed until and unless we can take full care of all American citizens. No American should ever be hungry. No American should be without home. I don't know how many homeless Americans there are now, but there are 100 million Americans who don't have jobs. We know that the refugees, in quotes, being brought in here are being done under the aegis of international world globalist Zionism. We know this is an invasion of America. All of you know that. It's not a secret. We know that Europe has been destroyed by the same mentality, the same agenda. No American should be without. All Americans should be taken care of fully and only before anyone else is allowed in here. All illegals should be ejected from this country. All who have come in under chain migration should be gone back to their country of origin. Let them line up, come in through the front door. Chain migration is a malevolent, malignant thing that has to go away. Trump could do away with these things. He won't. He could sign an executive order. No federal aid of any kind is to be made available to anyone coming into this country as a legal or an illegal refugee or migrant or immigrant. None. So that should show you right there how little control and little power the American electorate, the average American, has over this country and its government. It should also show you how monumentally betrayed we have all been. It's really unspeakable what has been done to us by the allegedly elected officials who are there to represent us. No American should go without. No American should have had to sleep in his or her car or van or under a piece of cardboard during the holidays or any days. And yet that's what happened. It happens every year. It happened especially this year. In L.A., for example, there's a film I ran, a video, 3 minutes, showing all the people living on the streets. Yes, most of them were Latino, blacks, but there were Caucasians there as well. Many of the Caucasians who are now homeless are living in their automobiles. Maybe they bought their car outright. Maybe they own it. American citizens, No food, no place to stay, living in their cars, with their pets, and in some cases their children. And Donald Trump can go to bed at night and go to sleep when this is going on? What kind of a man is he? He's no American. That's for damn sure. We take care of our own first. Then and only then will we be able to, and should we, take care of others. No foreign aid. End it. No United Nations. Pull out of it. You know the rest. With us this hour is Gary Holland, who lives in Las Vegas and who has contributed so marvelously to the coverage of the Las Vegas massacre, which is one of the most horrific things that has ever happened in this country in terms of a civilian tragedy. And it it will be talked about on this program forever, even though the Las Vegas community understandably is trying to make it go away. It happened. It didn't go away. There are dead people and destroyed families and injured who will never recover. Gary, welcome back, and Happy New Year to you early.
And Happy New Year to you, Jeff, and how's it going this evening?
Good, we're good, we're good. We're doing what we can, the best we can, as always, and that's the name of the program here. We try, and I just look around, and I see the things I mentioned happening, and I'm ashamed. I'm ashamed of this country, this government.
It's heartbreaking. It truly is heartbreaking. I was just recently down in Southern California, and like I've told you before, and the homeless, and we're not just talking, you know, the usual skid, you know, that video was from Skid Row in downtown Los Angeles. Right. Now, when you used to go down to Skid Row, and Skid Row has grown exponentially over the past, well, since Obama was president, the homeless population is just shot through the roof.
Right.
You know, it used to be you'd go down near the Fred Jordan Mission, and, you know, if anyone's familiar with downtown Los Angeles, they know the area I'm talking about, 4th and Wall Street, that area down there. Now, it's actually going into the homeless have stretched all the way into the high numbers even. So we're talking now, they've moved far out from the Fred Jordan Mission. We're talking all the way almost like at least 12 city blocks over. Close, I've even going down Olympic Boulevard, okay, and we're talking Olympic Boulevard is, you know, a far end of downtown. The homeless stretches all the way out there now, Skid Row does.
Wow.
And, it's horrible. I mean, it's everywhere. It's like downtown Los Angeles has really literally turned into what it looks like a refugee camp.
Uh-huh.
I mean, there's tents all over the place. They use these makeshift tents. Like I said, Skid Row's always been bad, but Skid Row used to be confined to one little area. It's really grown beyond belief, and it's just, it's sad to see, you know. And then of course you have the smell, you know, of they go to the bathroom, the police down there, you know, the usual trick is with them down there, what they've been doing, Los Angeles police, is they've been going and rousing up some of them. What they do is they ask, do you have a license? No, then they arrest them. You know, they sometimes they beat on them. It's the same old thing with them down there. And hepatitis A outbreak is really bad down there because two LAPD police themselves had
caught.
Oh yeah.
Well, they say one of the dirtiest places in the world is the back of a police cruiser. I wouldn't be surprised.
Oh, definitely. Oh yeah, and you got to understand, a lot of these people urinate on themselves. They're drunk alcoholics and,
sure,
and drug addicts and different stuff. But what I also have noticed down in Los Angeles is you'll go down really middle class areas, and no matter where area, if you're in San Fernando Valley,
uh-huh,
around Burbank, you know, I was over off Lancashire, Victory Boulevard, all that area over there, San Fernando Road, and it's loaded with campers. And I was like, wow, I don't think there's
enough on the streets.
Park right on the street, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And we're not just talking out in the valley. We're talking San Gabriel Valley, you know, Rosemary. I do a lot of traveling down when I'm down there. I go to
right,
different places.
Right.
And
right,
we're talking City of Whittier. Nice areas. City of Whittier.
Yeah,
City of Whittier.
Out
it's
in
like
the
a campground.
Too?
Out in the Valley, Van Nuys, even as far west, I was told by a few people I knew, like even out towards Sherman Oaks,
we're talking Thousand Oaks, Sherman Oaks, we're talking nice,
really nice areas. And what happened is basically they went upside down in their houses, probably took second, third mortgages out when the housing crisis happened. And, you know, their value never came back on these properties. Lost them and then moved into an RV. People living in cars. It's just RVs all over the place. And what they, especially the people living in the parking lots, a lot of you go into a Walmart parking lot, for instance, and you'll see campers all over the place. You'll see people sleeping in their cars. And what the police, the modus operandi of the police is now, what they do is they'll pull up to, okay, say you're sleeping in the car, you're not bothering nobody, you're not hurting anybody. Right. You're sleeping in the car.
And these are white former middle class Americans in many cases.
Oh, definitely. I would say at least three quarters of the ones I've seen in these campers and cars are white, middle class, probably people that, you know, used to live out, you know, were living the pretty decent California lifestyle. And, you know, now they've been shoved out the door. They can't get it. And a lot of them, let me explain, some isn't just a certain age. It's a wide range in age. Some of them are young. Some of them are middle age. I'd say a majority of them is middle age, not elderly. They're middle age, and they've been shoved out of the workforce by the illegal alien or the refugees, where, you know, they take priority and right. stuff like that. And, you know, even at the welfare, they go to try to get some help at the welfare office, and, you know, basically they're told, you know, hey, you're not the right skin color, so you know, in a nice way.
Gary, we'll get back to this, but how do we allow this to happen? And we did allow this to happen. We should have raised hell and gone into the streets and demanded that these congressmen and congresswomen and senators vote. They've got to vote legislation to stop this, but they don't. There's nothing even pending. Americans First should be the name of the bill. Americans First and Only should be the name of a bill. You don't see it. Nobody will introduce it. Nobody will even write it. Too afraid.
No, they're in the city of Los. Let's just take California, for instance. State of California, sanctuary state. They made tuition free for illegal aliens in colleges. The city of Los Angeles has 20,000 programs for the illegal alien, but the city of Los Angeles has not even did anything about the homeless problem. Homeless advocates go into city council, they get the same old lip service, and, you know, and then these city councilors, they're living in Pacific Palisades, they're living in, you know, they're living in the nice, you know, they're in posh in the Beverly Hills. These guys are living in, you know, they live the life of Riley. Basically what it boils down to, and you want to know why people aren't in the streets, because they have this attitude, well, it's not me, thank God. That's really what it is. If it's not me, then, you know, like the old saying goes, you know, it's only a tragedy if it happens to you.
And that's,
you know,
the truth.
If it's someone else, it ain't a tragedy. And that's one thing people don't understand. When it happens to one, it's all of our tragedy. And we don't think that way anymore. We never do. We you know, like I said, these people, you know, I don't understand sometimes who they, especially like the city of Los Angeles, how they vote. They vote for the same idiots over and over again. They had Vera Rugosa, that was the most corrupt politician ever. And then you have this Garcetti now, who's the son of a former district attorney. Another, and by the way, Garcetti, they're Jewish. They're not Italian. That's a fake name.
Oh, Gil Garcetti, the senior, yes. the old man. So this is a Jewish family.
Eric Garcetti, yeah, they're a Jewish family. Yes, and Eric Garcetti, who is now the son, who is the mayor of Los Angeles. Yeah, they're Jewish. They're not they're not Italian. Yeah, they used, you know, they got switched up the name a little bit, and there you go. And, you know, when look who runs the city of Los Angeles anyways, is a lot of it's out of the Jewish out of the San Fernando Valley, who look after the, you know, the problem with the city of Los Angeles you have, and a lot of people, I don't, you know, we're talking familiarity for people here. City of Los Angeles, you have a lot of different areas of the city of Los Angeles. People don't understand that the whole San Fernando Valley is actually the city of Los Angeles. People don't know that.
That's right.
A lot of people think San Fernando Valley is all independent. They're not. A big chunks of the San Fernando Valley is city of Los Angeles. So when you have the homeless problem in downtown Los Angeles, the one, you have any city councilors who are representing Northridge, Reseda, you know, you're out in the valley, the West Valley, you know, and they don't care. They really don't. As long as they know, their biggest problem, only time they'll have a problem is if the homeless start coming, you know, the street homeless.
Yeah.
Oh, We're not talking about the cars and the RVs. We're talking the street homeless.
It's the only time they'll get active. The you got it.
Yeah, it's when they start coming out in the valley, and then the, and you know, that's when people start taking action. But they don't really care. And like I said, with and the amount of cars, people living in their cars and campers, is just, it's getting more and more every year.
You're talking, obviously, tens and tens of thousands of people. This is huge.
Well, according to the city of Los Angeles' own estimate, they're saying there's at least almost close to 100,000 that they know of on the streets.
Wow.
That's not, they even admitted, we can't really get a good grasp, because people who live in their cars and RVs and stuff like that, they can't really count them. They're basically counting, they're just getting rough numbers coming out of the missions and the food pantries and stuff like that. This economy never recovered. Anyone who believes that this economy recovered is fooling themselves. They just are. I mean, how they can come on the mainstream media has been spewing. I've been hearing this, and they're parading around. This is the lowest unemployment's ever been. This is the highest work participation rate ever. Blah blah blah. It's not true. You can just. It's great to say, you know, these little buzzwords and out of the mainstream media studios.
Yeah.
But you know yourself, Jeff, I see on the streets. I go around Las Vegas even, and you don't see people waiting at the bus stops to go to work anymore. The streets are empty. The freeways are empty. Southern California, I go down there, and there used to be 10, 15 years ago, you end up driving down the 210 freeway, the 91, any freeway coming out of the Inland Empire going into the city of Los Angeles, into the L.A. County, you're doing a three-hour, four-hour ride.
Right.
There's days where I've gone down there now, Jeff, And now, we're not talking when schools or when government's in business. Now, when government says, when there's a government day off, you want to see what the real economy is doing. Wait for a federal holiday, a state federal holiday. And then the private industry's still working. They don't take them holidays. And see how empty the roads are. And here in Las Vegas, you could, when Clark County School District is taking a day off, and state government and county governments are all taking a day off, federal's off, the streets are empty. There's hardly anyone going to work. There just isn't. And how long can this last? How long can the government be the biggest employer in this country, and private sector, which really is the bosses of the government worker, because, you know, although at this point we're just printing money left and right and borrowing to keep the government running.
Right.
The private sector is just basically, they're just paying the juice or the VIG on the debt. That's all we've turned into, is we just turned into
75 to 80 cents on each dollar goes to pay the Jewish debt, which is what it is.
Yep.
It's a Jewish banker debt. And not making anything up here. There's nothing racist about it or anything else. No anti-Semitism. It's a fact. Jewish banking owns this country.
You can't be an anti-Semite anyway, because they're all Khazars. So, I mean, they're not from. They're not Semitic at all.
You know who the real Semitic peoples are? They're the Palestinian peoples.
Sure.
Those are Semitic peoples.
Yep. And I will argue on my, it's funny because you get these comment sections and I start putting stuff up to Palestinians and he says, you're just an anti-Semite. I said, I'm not an anti-Semite. I love Semitic people. I love the Palestinians. The anti-Semites are the Khazars living in Israel who are just wholesale slaughtering the Palestinians. That's your anti-Semites. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. But that's the biggest problem. And think about this, Jeff. 80% right now is basically we're paying 80 cents on the dollar for debt. How about when the interest rate goes up? They've been artificially keeping this interest rate low for way too long.
Uh-huh.
No matter how hard the Federal Reserve tries to keep this interest rate down,
right.
The market itself will overpower the Federal Reserve. Once the interest rate goes up, then we're going to be paying 120, 130% debt. This country ain't going to be able to do it. You just won't be able to. I mean, it's like this. You go, if someone wanted to keep it simple, and I've explained this to people before, they say, well, they don't understand government debt. I said, let me explain to you. Go to one payday loan center, borrow from them. Then the next week you borrow from another payday loan center to pay just the interest at the other payday loan center you just took a payday loan from. Then you go to a third payday loan center to pay off the pay debts, just the interest rates on the other two payday loans you got. And you keep going on and on and on. Eventually, there's no more payday loan centers out there.
No,
you've ran out. And and that's like this, the same analogy of paying one credit card bill with another credit card. Eventually, both credit cards run out.
So many people do that. So many people do that. The average home credit card debt is close to $30,000. And that's, you know, depending on how many people live in the house, and they're all doing the same thing. They're paying one bill with another bill at, what, 18% interest? So sure.
People living paycheck to paycheck, I've read article after article where you say right now 80% of the, and I would say that's probably a low number, but is it 80% of middle income to low income people live paycheck to paycheck? They don't. They have no savings in their account. They have no savings for an emergency. The minute they see, and a lot of people, like I said, with their cars and they're living in their cars. Like I told you, I felt real bad. I seen this guy. He was an older gentleman, maybe in his late 50s, mid-50s, white gentleman. And he had two kittens he's feeding outside his car. His car's packed. His trunk's open. And he has them, you know, them big plastic bins they sell. You know, they sell them at different department stores where you can store stuff in, storage bins type thing. They're sticking out of the trunk. The guy's, it was a newer car, a very kind of expensive newer car, and the guy's living out of his car, you could tell. I mean, every bit of his belongings. And you know, that's what I emailed to you before, Jeff. What they'll do is these police will pull up in the middle of like 2 in the morning, would put their fog lights on the car, and then they have these big PA speakers. They scream through, wake up, get out, put your hands up, and they do that type of stuff. And they start rousing these people, and they write them tickets. And if they don't prove they have insurance, they'll tow their car away with all their belongings. And
oh,
they'll
my God.
In the parking lot.
This is.
I've seen it. They've done this more than once. L.A. County sheriffs do that all the time.
We've lost it. We've lost it.
I cannot see how a man can sit there. Say he's. First of all, whatever happened to. You know, years ago, you used to see these older TV shows where the police, they used to say, a citizen's in trouble. Remember that? Remember that's the way the police used to work. Now, the perp. They don't even say citizen anymore.
And everybody's a perp. Everybody's a perp. Yeah. I get it. I get it. Wow. What a mindset.
And they just have no heart. How could you sit there and
they're not
your humanity?
They've lost their humanity. As we all know now, and we've talked about this for years on the program, police officers, unfortunately, and there are exceptions, are only allowed to join the force if their IQ falls within a certain parameter. They don't want anyone too smart. They don't want anyone exceptionally dumb. They want droids. They want just
and
human.
And the other thing they want you to, well, if you fail the psychological test, that means you're a sane person. They want psychopaths. That's really, really what they want. They want sociopsychopaths because a lot of these officer involved shootings, they're having a lot of these guys coming back with PTSD. And I know quite about PTSD. Yeah. And I would suggest that nobody with PTSD should be, you can't come from the battlefield and be put directly in the police department. But who do the police mostly recruit out of?
Military
getting out of the military department.
Yeah. And they're psychologically messed up, many of them. The worst person to put a gun on their hip and turn them loose with the power of life and death over the public. Just, it's crazy. We really are in trouble. We are terrible trouble. Hold on a minute. Gary and I will be right back after this. Gary Holland. There's another story making the rounds, and it's important to take a look at these things and try to determine what they really are. Anything you want to add about the homeless situation, though, before we do that?
No, you know, it's horrible, and it's getting a lot worse. And just if anyone who, you know, I'm sure there's people, you know, you got a lot of listeners in Southern California. They know what I'm talking about.
Right.
But it's more than just Southern California. It's probably every city around this country.
Every major urban area in the country is, I'm sure, afflicted the same way. I'm sure of it.
Imagine how horrible it is right now where that brutal cold air is. And you got homeless people that are left and right all over the place.
And, you know, think about it, and I'll repeat it. Right there in that area, whichever you want to talk about, it's down to 30, 32, 20s, and teens. And we have American citizens who are freezing. Some will die. And yet, at the same time, we have Somalians, we have Arab Muslims, Black African Muslims who are living the high life. They're living in condominiums, living in houses. They're warm, they're comfortable, they're toasty. They can go to the store and get what they want. They've got cars, they've got the spending money, they've got cash, all being given to them from the American taxpayer. How insane does it get?
It gets beyond insane. And I can remember a couple of years ago when, remember when all them child refugees came in, they put them on that Air Force base down in Texas.
Yeah.
They literally were trucking these kids by with all the special teachers and counselors and whoever else, and big trucks of food and games and prizes. As they were driving by and driving on the main road to the base, they literally were passing homeless veterans in the streets as they drove them illegal alien kids straight by them onto an Air Force base and housed them and everything else. While the homeless veterans who probably served on some on that base sat out in the streets. That will tell you where this country's at. And the people in this country better learn very quickly that your government represents nothing of any interest of yours. It represents one country, which is basically we're a puppet state of Israel. They're representing the Jewish interests. And Jewish interests loves it when there's illegal aliens being passed by the veterans that they had used for their conquest.
Oh, used, abused, and discarded. Do you know, all of you, about you remember the children invasion? I used to call it the children crusade. Can you imagine being a parent and sending your 8 and 9 year old child on buses and on foot 1,000 miles or 500 miles toward the U.S. border to try to get them to crash the border and get picked up and put on Air Force bases, knowing that the Americans would not send them back, that they would take them in. And then through chain migration, when that child grows up, however long it'll take, and gets status here, they can pull in the rest of the family. Can you imagine sending your child out like that to become a sex trafficked slave or worse? I mean, who are these? What kind of culture is this that would do that? I don't get it.
It's third world culture.
Yeah.
But I choose to believe that a lot of these kids didn't come in on foot. They were trucked in here.
Oh,
They were found, there were videos of it. They were trucked right in.
Videos showing them on trains and being brought in by truck, and then dumped off near the border. You got it.
Yep.
All right.
And that's a lot of these U.S. aides and the same old crap refugee groups that worked when I was over in Somalia that I told you before why there were so many in Europe.
Yeah.
These U.S. groups, aid groups, and they work as they're basically NGOs, but say they represent the U.S. government, which and practically they do, and they tell the refugees you can live the way you want. We're not going to change your culture.
Exactly.
We're not going to interfere in your culture. You can just basically transport your culture to where we're moving you to, but we're going to give you a lot of free goodies. And you wonder why Europe is literally, it's at this point, is it safe to say where the Muslim majority immigrant population countries of Europe have already fell? It's pretty much a done deal. I mean, it's not, they're not turning them countries around anymore. They're gone.
No.
They're long gone.
The people have been crushed and broken inside. They don't have the will at this point to stand up and fight. And they should have been able to do that. This should have been met with the most aggressive physical violence imaginable. The invasion of Europe should have been repelled and turned away. It wasn't. And that's
Eastern Bloc nations now, they decided they're not going to allow that. If you notice,
I know.
The Western nations, it was the Western European nations that just basically fell down and spread their legs. But
correct.
You have Hungary, which I honor that president of Hungary. That man made a speech just recently.
Oh, and very brave man. A great man, a great statesman. Absolutely. He was a Hungarian. He's a patriot, for God's sakes.
Love this country. And the same thing, and you have that quote from another great, I would say, The world leader right now that everyone should be looking to is Vladimir Putin. At this point, people can...
He's the number one statesman on the planet.
Yep.
Period.
Honorable man, loves his country, which that's what you should do when you represent your country. He's not an internationalist. And that statement on your site, you have that flash gift, and I love what he said, that if you're a minority in this country, you're not welcome. If you want to scream, whatever, you can just not move here, because we're not going to cater
That's
to
right.
minorities, and we don't where we cater to Russians. And every leader should be saying that. I just don't get it.
Well, in Merkel's case, she's a communist plant, a Bolshevik.
Yeah.
Working for the Zionists. It's all about Zion.
Well, she grew up in Stasi.
Of course.
She grew up in that.
She's a communist. She's a communist Stasi agent. And they put her in somehow. They put her in. They placed her. She has destroyed Germany. I wouldn't count the Germans out completely yet, but they've arisen in the past. They've got the genetic background to do it. Look what happened to them after World War One, and look what they did. They need a leader. I don't know how they're going to get one.
The difference this time, though, Jeff, is that they had a cohesive population. They
right.
were intelligent, the whole population. But what they've done to this population is they splintered it. You got a population now that some of them are going into these mixed race relationships. You got some that are just completely, I don't know what their problem, they've gone insane. And a lot of them are the older population who have this saying, well, F them, I don't care, I'm not going to be alive when they take over anyway.
That's true.
You can see a lot of seniors here do this, say the same things here. And that's the attitude. Well, I'm not going to be here any longer, so by the time I die, I'm not going to worry about it. You know, they'll be way after I die. They let the other generations deal with the problem. The other generations are just foolish and stupid, and they're growing up in this, so that's normal to them now. And it'll be a Muslim-majority continent here probably within the next 10 years. I won't even give it 10 years. I might even say, actually, I'm being generous, 10 years. I mean, you do agree, Jeff. You do see where this is going. This is going to be a disaster because you've got Muslims who are insane. They're just sub-creatures from under a rock somewhere.
Sure.
And you got nuclear state European governments. And we're so concerned with certain countries getting a nuclear weapon. I wouldn't worry about North Korea. I would more worry about France, England, these countries that have already got nuclear weapons that are having their countries usurped by Muslims. It's not much longer before they have control of the button because they're going to overpopulate the current population. And when that happens, good night. Then it's just, if we're not already involved with one already at this point, but let's just say we're not. My main concern would be Europe right now, the leadership of them countries. I would be heavily concerned about the leadership sanity of what they're doing to their people.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just say on a national defense,
mm-hmm.
if we're all worried about national defense, it's all you keep hearing about, national defense this, national defense that. The number one continent I would be worrying about right now is the European continent. Because they're getting taken over by Muslims. And Muslims won't even have to even worry about engineering a nuclear weapon. They got them already set up for them.
That's correct. Yeah, that's correct. I don't know what's going to happen, but it's not looking good at all. No way. All right, we got a few minutes here. There's a new movie out. It's called What Happened in Vegas. And it's supposedly a story of the corruption of the Las Vegas Metro Police Department before and after the massacre. It appears to be the kind of thing that would be welcome, but it, on closer examination, looks like it may be a little misdirection, to put it mildly. What we need is a documentary about Las Vegas taken from the videos that exist, showing the truth. Showing the helicopters, for example, with muzzle flash flying around, shooting. We need to see the window seven stories above Paddock's room. We need to see muzzle flash coming out of that. That's the kind of documentary we need to see. We need to see the three guys on top of the trailer, the RV, rather. We need to see the other shooting team over on the Luxor on about the fourth or fifth level outside on that stair step type of architecture they have. We need to see reality. We need to see brass on the ground at the Tropicana. That's the kind of documentary that probably, I don't know if it would be made or not. If it would, they might, they don't want that out there. They do not. They don't want it out there. Tell us about this new video, what you know and what your thoughts are. Not that we've seen it. Now we should make this clear. We haven't seen it. We're going on what we're hearing, what we're seeing in terms of interviews and the news releases on it. It's called What Happened in Vegas.
Yeah, according to Alternet, the author of the reporter or the author of the article, Liz Posner, well, that needs to tell you everything you need to know about that article.
All right, so a Jewish woman wrote the article, okay? So they're right there. You know what her agenda is. She's got an agenda. That's just it. That's the way it works.
And just how that article was written, you could see the agenda. But they give the gist of that video is... it's all in that video. Now, I haven't seen it, but according to this Liz Posner, the video is basically saying, if Las Vegas Metro and MGM did their jobs, this never would have happened. So basically, this whole documentary is going to be basically, it's corrupt Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department. It's all their fault. Don't look behind the curtain. You know, just look one direction. Look at Stephen Paddock, Las Vegas Metro incompetence, MGM incompetence, case closed. Look the other, keep going, move on now, and let's go on to something new. That's really what this video is about. It's all propaganda.
Oh, it's a door closer. That's what they're trying. Sure.
And they're using, like, alternative, maybe it looks like it's an alternative, a reporter doing this and blah, blah, blah. It's heavily, I haven't seen the video, but I could say this. If I watch the video, I can pretty much predict what it's going to be. It's going to be highly produced, very produced, nicely produced, good graphics, nice audio.
Yeah.
It's going to have all this
very professional. Very professional. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, what you need to do with Las Vegas, just remember that video that came out about Sandy Hook a few years ago. It says, we need to have a talk about Sandy Hook.
Yes.
That's exactly the type of documentary, only documentary you're going to have on that. It's, you know, it's hard to put together, you know, but I think it would definitely serve a purpose, at least to get people informed. And, you know, like I said, it's all theory and conjecture. And basically, it's one possible outcome or one possible theory of what happened, or multiple different theories. Like, if you look at that Sandy Hook video, it was a very, very well put together video, and it covered everything. Mm-hmm. And you had a lot of people that were trying to explain, you know, and of course, tell me another story that just got completely disappeared. Of course, they bring it back every once a year to try to push gun control and the usual thing and stuff like that. But all the crisis actors, they were all gone. You don't see them anymore, even on TV. They don't even bother to put them on. And they do bring out that one family. The one that was giggling before he figured out he was on screen and he started putting his fake tears out.
Robbie, what's his name? I think Robbie something. Yeah.
Yep.
Bottom line is this video, and I urge all of you to take a look at it with what you know, what you've seen here. We have enough here on the site to make a documentary easily, a good one. And there's a lot more I don't have posted that would make an excellent film. So the bottom line on this is it appears to be a very well-produced door closer. It's another effort to try to keep people from looking where the real action was and look in the direction that they want you to look. They're going to let the Metro people take the hit. It's no problem. It's either that or what? What are the options? International, Saudi, and Mossad involvement, a mass massacre of Americans, apparently to cover up an assassination attempt, a coup d'etat of MBS, Mohammed bin Salman, the king-to-be in Saudi Arabia. That's what it was all about. The setup of Stephen Paddock, the CIA or otherwise intel arms huckster, which is what he was. That's the documentary.
Yeah, Stephen Paddock with Doublecross. Remember, Cody Snodgrass? They were going to do the same thing to him when it came to OKC. They were going to Doublecross him. They were going to, not only were they going to use him to plant,
that's right,
do the actual plant, but then they were going to use him as the patsy too at the same time.
That's right.
So that's what Stephen Paddock worked, just like I've said from the very beginning. He was a gun runner, obviously. And he was running guns. They probably used him to run the weapons in to, that they used for this operation. Then they got a two-for-one and made him the patsy at the same time, which is the nature of the pawn, because
that's,
he was a pawn in all this. And MBS probably was. And I think MBS was thrown into this operation later as a bonus. And I think MBS, I think what they used was a double. My opinion, this is my opinion, it might be wrong. I think they used a double, and I think they used him as the bait.
Interesting. You could well be right.
And see how they drew it. Yeah. As soon as all this went down, while he was thrown in, and now he's sitting in a hotel somewhere as if he's still alive, which is probably, him and Jesus Campos are probably both together in the afterlife and comparing notes at this point. And
Campos.
And,
oh yeah.
Which
Campos? Yeah.
Yeah.
The real one or the linebacker that appeared on Ellen's program?
Yeah.
Guy weighed picked up 40 or 50 pounds in 3 days or something. Crazy.
He was pumping some massive steroids over the day or two. Come on.
By the way,
could have made it look a little bit more less obvious than they did, but I guess at that point they were just throwing stuff together.
Yeah, they were. They were making it up as they went along. I got a Cody contacted me. He'll be on next Wednesday, by the way, for all of you listening. He was in a
Wonderful.
Car crash, and we'll have Cody on next week, so he'll explain what happened. But
Okay,
watch out for this film. It's not the kind of film that we really want. We really need. I haven't seen it. I will make an effort to watch it when it apparently is available online right now. You can buy it for $12.99, something like that. If you want to look at it, Gary, I'll buy you a copy. I don't have the time, but if you want to take a look at it, I'll send you.
It will end up on YouTube eventually. It will. It's heavily involved with a personal injury.
We'll see what kind of traction
it
gets right now.
I think a big part of it too is a personal injury lawyer that's involved in this heavily. So I think he's using this for some type of advertising for himself. If you go on Facebook or you go on these different websites now, are you a Las Vegas shooting victim? Call this lawyer. It's basically turned into a lawsuit.
The ambulance chasers are out.
And he's a personal injury lawyer, this guy, that they heavily interviewed in this. As a matter of fact, he was even interviewed for the article even. So, and in what we all know, again, who most of the attorneys are, especially here in Las Vegas. Bernstein.
Always profiting.
Lerner, these guys are on TV every morning, noon, and night. So these guys are all, we already know the names, we know the types.
How are they, they're going to knock up the insurance companies for the payoff on this somehow. They're going to have to pay everybody off. It won't come from the hotels, it'll come from the insurance carriers. How do you think this is going to play out?
I think what they're going to use the insurance carriers as basically the middlemen. Who's going to fund the insurance companies to pay all these settlements off? Or your friendly Federal Reserve? They're just going to pump them full of free money.
Right.
You know this yourself. I mean, you got all these AIG and all these different insurance companies that were bailed out last time. These insurance companies aren't worried about loss anymore. They don't need to. They go to the overnight desk at the Fed, or they go to the Federal Reserve, get their endless amounts of money, get some more zeros added to their account, and they don't care.
Bottom line is they're going to pay off all these people to shut up and go away. They'll have to sign a no talk. No settlement disclosures, nothing like that. NDAs, but more than that. And NDAs pumped up.
Yeah.
So they'll all have to sign.
And no personal injury lawyer will look into it because they're all just settlement artists. They're not good. None of this will ever end up in court. There will be no open discovery. There will be no discovery. There will be nothing. It will be all settled out. You'll see. You'll hear in about a year or two. And, it's kind of funny that we're not going to release a report until October of 2018.
Yeah, next year.
And of course, there'll be more than enough time to get all the stuff scrubbed clean videos. They'll they have never released a video of any paddock videos yet of even being in town here, and they'll make one up and make sure that they do some CGI, and they'll get a guy that looks like him, and they'll be in front of a green screen, just like they'll be doing, like they've done and been doing in movies the past 5 years, taking actors who have died and put them back in the movies as a younger self. And you know, they already have the technology for this. So Steve Maddock will end up on some videos, and then magically you say, see, he was in town, why were you guys questioning it? And it'll be all nice, neatly cleaned up. That gives them a year to, you know, take care of all the business they need to take care of.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. Yep, that's it. Well, we did our thing here, and you were a great part of it, Gary. And we covered it, yep. And it's we gave the people the information, the reality that we were able to get hold of and disseminate. And that's what we're supposed to do. We will be back in 2018 with you, Gary. Thanks for being here tonight. Happy New Year, friend. Take care. Be careful. And I mean that. Be careful. All right. Good night, Gary.
And you too, Jeff. And you have a wonderful new year, and we'll be talking to you next year.
Okay. Thanks, Gary. Good night. Gary Holland, and one of the brightest people in through this whole nightmare since October 1st. Have a wonderful weekend. Take care. We'll be back, of course, Tuesday live, Sunday encore. Monday we'll have a special program. We'll do some reruns for you, and have a good weekend. Enjoy, and do think about the things we've talked about in this hour. Very important. All right? Good night.